I have 9:33. Let's call to order. Ms. Pakanon, would you take roll for us, please?
I can do the
yes,
roll call quickly.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Pakanon.
Thank you.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson? Dr. Davey?
Present.
Ms. Denton?
Present.
Dr. Rates?
Here.
We have quorum.
All right, thank you. And just to open everything up, I want to thank the community for being here. I know that several applicants are present, and also board staff for coordinating all this. I know there was a lot of last minute changes, so thanks for the effort on that and coordinating with all of us as well. And then my fellow committee members, again for your time reviewing these and doing this important work for Arizona. So let's move on to agenda item number 4. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Good. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next agenda item number 5, discussion and action regarding recommendation to board for approval of behavior analyst applications. So our first applicant is Kayla Lawler. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes, thank you. And I am having a little bit, it's freezing on my end. So please let me know if you can hear me. I've turned up off my camera to try to help with that.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Rates.
Yeah. So a little bit of background. This is the request for additional information. Specifically, we had requested some information related to the total hours. The initial application had indicated hours that would exceed that 130 per month. So we asked for some additional documentation. We also had a supervisor with some hours that were counted that were happening just prior to the supervisor completing their supervised experience. Some more information and identify if those hours could be removed and additional hours supplemented. So the individual did submit to the committee documentation, several pages of records related to the amount of supervision that they have received. In review of all of those updated logs, final verification forms, it does appear that they meet the 1500 hours within that time frame of 10 to 9:31 between 2020 and 2021. In relation to the hours that were provided by HOPE, we also have documentation where the 1 month period was removed and they were still able to meet that requirement. So in reviewing of all that documentation, I would suggest that the additional information was sufficient and that we would be able to move forward. But would open it up to the committee.
Any further comments? Okay, thank you, Dr. Rates. Next application is Lindsay Patterson. Dr. Davey, you are the reviewer for that.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stenhoff. So Lindsay Patterson has applied for licensure in the state of Arizona. She's come forward with her application. The application of itself is complete. She lists the fact that she has other licenses in the field, being a certified teacher in the state of Florida, and that she studied at the University of West Florida and then also the University of Central Florida, and had a degree program titled Applied Behavior Analysis, completed those requirements, and is a BCBA as well. The individual has sought to be able to reach out to her supervisor and hold on one second. I'm sorry, my daughter is calling me and that's odd from school, so please pause. I'm on daddy duty. she was locked out of her school Google account, and dad seems to be the IT wizard. sorry about that. I apologize. So Ms. Lindsay, in following with rules and statutes, reached out to be able to provide information around her supervision. She was not able to have her supervisor, in this case, Brooke Mannion from Learning Leaps Behavioral Services, submit the paperwork to us directly. It seems to have been routed back through the applicant. The applicant submitted it. Board staff alerted that that was not an appropriate way to provide a primary source for obvious reasons. The applicant has gone above and beyond in trying to work with her past supervisor, as has our board staff. And to this point, and unless board staff has an update, we have not received the information directly from Brooke Mannion, the supervisor. We have provided multiple ways for her to provide this to us outside of going and digging through her files of what she claims is a hardship for her. And yet she has yet to take us up on all of these. The committee will note that the timeline for this actually dates back to September. Board staff, as well as the applicant, have been diligent in trying to seek the information from Brooke Mannion. If you've taken the time to read through the email correspondences, I find them quite disturbing, unprofessional, and unbecoming of a BCBA, and inappropriate in the words that she's directed towards our staff, as well as this BCBA and applicant. In an effort to provide some information around supervision, a different supervisor has provided us original source documents that really that are really from a different experience that appears and might be at the same location. I couldn't quite pull that together. Board staff may have other information related to that. That being said, the information that was provided does not equal the 1500 hours. And so I think I'll pause there to see if there's anything else from board staff that they'd like to add.
I don't have anything to add with this one.
Thank you.
Dr. Davey, did you have any additional thoughts regarding the level of professionalism by her former supervisor?
I'm going to hold that until after we get through the application, I believe.
Okay.
I think with the application, I think I'd like to go into executive session just so we can figure out what some potential, get some legal advice on potential paths for this applicant.
Okay, and I'll take that as a motion, Dr. Davey. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll move to executive session. All right. Dr. Davey, would you like to continue this discussion?
Absolutely. And I just want to make sure that we do not see the applicant. It looks as if we have one of the supervisors on the line. Given the information that is contained in the file with regard to communication to the supervisor, in this case, the primary supervisor, in this case, Brooke Mannion, and her failure to provide information related to this applicant's experience, even through various means and opportunities that board staff and state rules and regulations allow us by which to obtain that information, the applicant's been unable to get it. And so I would like to instruct board staff to work with the applicant under a set of rules with regard to documentation of supervision, and that we work with the applicant to directly obtain from her copies of her BACB experience verification forms, which can be submitted by the applicant. They would have been submitted to the BACB when she applied for her BACB certification. If she does not have those, then I would like to have board staff work with her to provide as much documentation of supervision that she can come up with. That may include partial experience forms. That could be other documentation from other supervisors attesting to her supervision activities. And that would be my recommendation on this. In that same light, I will just go on the record as saying that I am severely unimpressed with the supervisor in this case and her inability to perform what I believe is a basic function as a BCBA, and that is her right or her obligation and the right of clients and supervisees to be treated in a just manner. And this supervisor's inability to take some time out of her busy schedule, as she put it in her email, over the last 4 months to simply attest to this individual's supervision. I want the board staff to know that this is an anomaly. This is not how BCBAs operate. And I, for one, apologize for her behavior towards you, and I find it abhorrent. And I just believe that this individual needs to take a deep look inside and get the information that we have asked for so that we can move this forward. Thank you.
All right. Any further comments on this? Yeah. And Dr. Davey, I concur with your sentiments regarding her supervisor. So, board staff, did were you able to note the provisions that Dr. Davey listed? Okay.
One final thing, board staff. When we get to the part of items for next. CBA meeting, I think we should add one to look at this supervisor's activities. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we will put an agenda item on here for the board to, the committee to review this matter more in depth.
Thank you, Ms. Backman. Okay, next agenda item is Gwen Michie. I actually would like to go to executive session to discuss this. That's my motion. Can I have a second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay. So, Ms. Michie, I'm sure you heard that, but the staff said, we're going to be moving this forward for their review. Okay.
Ms. Pekkanen, you can assign that one to me for the board meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Davey.
All right. Let's see. Next application is Ella Arsenault. Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that.
Mr. Chair. I hope I am pronouncing the name just as eloquently as you did, Mr. Chair. She came forward for licensure after passing her board exam on November 15th of 2021. She graduated from National University with a Master's in Science and ABA in May of 2021. Her supervision date ranged from March of 2020 until August of 2021. She received a total of 1,506 hours of supervision in the state of Arizona under licensed behavior analyst. I do not note any concerns about this application, and unless there's any comments from my fellow committee members, I would move this forward to the full board.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. All right. Next application is Courtney Denevy. Dr. Davey, you have a lead on that?
Thank you very much. Yes, Courtney comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She has completed her application and notes that she is also a licensed social worker in the state of Arizona, has provided her license number for that as well. And reviewing it, there's also a listing of her Arizona State University work where she earned her master's in social work and a master's in education. She then also did work in Flagstaff at Northern Arizona University for her bachelor's of science in psychology. She did respond in the affirmative to question number 12 around currently awaiting or under or have been convicted in the past of a felony or misdemeanor other than a minor traffic offense. Courtney, Ms. Levy responded with a couple of paragraphs with regard to that. Both were when several years ago, almost 15 years ago for both of them, 14 years ago for, or I guess 13, 14 years ago, they both revolved around possession of marijuana when she was in high school. She has provided the information around that. She also notes that she has had those expunged from her record earlier in 2021. And given the timing of these and the fact that she has not been in any other sort of situation such as that since high school, I don't really see these as an issue with her character moving forward, particularly in light of her other licensures here in the state of Arizona. And I would move that this go forward, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. All right, next application is Sylvia Dergal. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead on that.
Yes, I would like to note for the committee that this applicant does work at the same organization where I am at. That said, we have not had any interaction or any kind of supervisory relationship. So I feel that I can move forward with
Dr. Reitz. I'm sorry, Dr. Smith, I guess I should have asked if she was here and if she wanted to make a statement. I apologize.
I do not see that applicant on the call, no.
Okay, sorry,
Thank you.
Yeah, problem. I apologize, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Davey.
Not a problem. So the applicant comes to us today for approval. She received her BCBA in December of 2021. She completed a master's degree at U of A in special education, and that was completed in June of 2021. She obtained her supervision at SARC under multiple supervisors between October 2019 and June of 2021 for a total of 1,618 hours. In review of the supervisors, everybody met qualifications for supervision during that time frame. And I did not note any issues with this application and would suggest it move forward to the board.
All right, thank you, Dr. Reitz. Next application is Skylar Shern. Ms. Denton, you are the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Shern passed her exam in October of 2021 after receiving a master's from Ball State in May of 2020. She received her supervision in two separate states. She received a total of 1,350 hours in Indiana, which did not require licensure at the time of the supervision, as well as an additional 196 hours in Arizona by a licensed behavior analyst. Her grand total of supervision hours was 1,541 hours. I would open this up to the committee for any comments or concerns.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Denton.
I'd like to move it forward.
All right. Okay, next application is Tiffany Sepala. As a disclaimer, Ms. Sepala was a student in a couple of courses, or more than a couple, a few courses I taught, but I feel that I can review this application without bias. Ms. Sepala received her BCBA certificate in December of 2021. She graduated in May of 2021 from Arizona State University with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,501.14 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in the state of Arizona who were all LBAs. I did note on the application, page 9 of the PDF, one of her supervisors was Stephen Sherbert, who was licensed in July 30th of 2019 and began his supervision in July 9th of 2019. According to the record that we have provided, he supervised 172 hours from July 9th to May 11th of 2020. Thus, there were 21 days of supervision provided in which he was not licensed in the state. So that would be July 9th of 2019 to July 30th of 2019. So I recommend that we request how many hours were actually provided for the 21 days, or that there was additional hours provided that would bring that total up to fit 1,500 hours of total supervision. So any further discussion from committee members? And I did note that Ms. Sepla is on the call. I don't know if Ms. Sepla is able to provide any further information on that.
So what happened with that is he just was part of a BCBA that would observe my client contact. But Renee Mullary, who signed off on my final verification form, was my direct supervisor. But he was just a part of my client contacts when he would observe me with the patient.
Okay. And then was the patient located in the state of Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. So the issue is on the information provided on this on the multiple supervisors one organization form provided by the board is that there is a he is recorded at providing 172 hours, and among those hours are non-licensed time in the state of Arizona. And so is that accurate to say that there was those 21 days that he had supervised, or that those hours that he observed you counted towards your supervision hours?
I think what happened was not every he only observed me for the two per month that was needed during which he was the BCBA on the case. And then Renee, who was the clinical director who was supervising him, was my main point of contact for supervision. Okay. But I still had put him there because he had client contacts with me.
Okay. So I think what we're going to board staff, based on this, on the information we have, because that those numbers are so high, I think there either needs to be information that corrects that or demonstrates that those hours were not the number of hours beyond those 21 days, getting information about how many hours those really accounted for, and to make up for because even with those hours, Ms. Sepala's hours are just over one hour, just past that 1500 threshold. And so even the loss of 2 hours would negate the total. So I think we need to get some information, either one, to ensure that there was well over 1500 hours, excluding Mr. Schubert's supervision hours, or that Ms. Mullary provided those hours instead. So is that possible to get that documentation and work with stuff on that?
Yes, I can. I'm still in contact with Ms. Mullary.
Okay. All right. Committee members, any further discussion on that? Okay. All right. Ms. Sepla, thank you for being here. It's much appreciated. It helps us understand things a little bit more clearly. And I'm sure that this can get worked out pretty easily. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next application is Kelsey Buckler. Just a note, disclaimer that I worked at the same organization as Ms. Buckler, and I also was her instructor when she was working on her master's. But I feel that I can be, review this application without bias. And Ms. Den, you are the lead on that. So would you go ahead and do that?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Ms. Buckler passed her board exam on November 2nd of 2021 after receiving a Master's of Arts in ABA from Arizona State University. Is that a Master's of Arts? Did I write the right thing down, or is it an MS?
I would say MS.
I apologize.
With some of my background knowledge about that.
Just some of that background knowledge. I just wrote down the wrong thing, but I caught myself. So an MS in ABA from Arizona State University. She received her supervision from February of 2020 to August of 2021, all in the state of Arizona. She was a little bit of an overachiever here and received 1,838.33 hours of supervision, exceeding the 1,500 maximum. After reviewing Ms. Buckler's application, I did not see any areas of concern and would recommend that we move it forward to the full board for review.
Thank you, Ms. Hannon. And you are up again as the lead reviewer for this, Sherilyn Haganabon, maybe. Well, so sorry about that. Oh, I want to back up. Ms. Buckler is on the call as well. So Ms. Buckler, did you want to make any comments, or are you okay?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, sorry about that, Ms. Tan. Go ahead.
No problem, Mr. Chair. Our next applicant, Lynn Ganibon, passed her exam on December 17th of 2021, graduated with a Master's of Arts in Special Education in April of 2021 from Arizona State University. She received all of her supervision in the state of Arizona from January of 2020 to September of 2021, with a total of 1,524.17 hours by licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. I did not note any concerns regarding this application and would move that it goes forward to the board.
All right, thank you. Next application is Lauren Crowitz. Dr. Dave, you're the lead on that. Oh, Dr. Davy, you're muted.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stenhoff. Lauren Crowitz comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She is a board-certified behavior analyst, has been one since 2016, has practiced in the state of Pennsylvania under what appears to be a behavioral health license as well during that period of time. She studied at Mercyhurst University in Erie, Pennsylvania, and received her master's in science there from the Department of Special Education and Applied Disability Study. Did her undergraduate work at Allegheny College, also in Pennsylvania. Individual completed the application, noted on number 20 that one of her supervisors was in charge of her experience and noted the hours of 1,055.75. Went on to complete the information, listed two different experiences, a supervised experience towards certification, one at the Achievement Center under supervisors Christina Collin and Tony McQuaid, the other in Erie School District under Tom Kitchen and Phil Before. As we normally do, board staff went in and took a look at individuals' timing with regard to their training as supervisors, as well as the number of hours. And one of the, I believe that one of the supervisors, Mr. Kitchen, had actually passed away, and that another individual has actually signed off on his forms and attested to that field work. In addition to that form that's completed, we have a second form that is completed that has another 1,003.25 hours, also from Mr. Kitchen. So we have there's two different documents. Board staff, do you want to clarify which one is the accurate one, or have we come to that conclusion on that?
We don't have a conclusion on that. I sent her an email to clarify which one of those documents was the accurate one, and I have not heard back from her with an answer on that.
Okay. The difference is 47 hours for committee members. The individual, as coined by Ms. Denton, was an overachiever and had over 2,000 hours. So even with that deduction, would still have ample amount of hours. However, for the file, we would still need to know which document is accurate. And it looks like Ms. Krawitz is here. So maybe she can just let us know right now. Do you want to unmute yourself? It's connecting. There you go. Oh, no. It tried to connect, but it did not.
You might be muted.
Connecting, it says. Oh, maybe. Not quite. We'll get there. Well, while she's doing that, I'll continue and then she can answer that question for us. We also went back, board staff, and looking at timing of individuals' ability to supervise. Had to reach out to the BACB to get some clarification to ensure that the individuals had completed their 8-hour supervision training courses at the right amount of time. Some had been omitted from the registry at the time, and the BACB came back with particular dates that are also embedded in the packet. Did she get it to go? No, still not. She's trying.
Mr. Chair, perhaps we could send her over the phone number to connect to audio via her phone?
Would somebody on board staff be able to do that?
Mr. Chair, Zakiya, are you able to push her an email just with the dial-in instructions?
Yes, I'm working on that right now.
Thank you. Give her maybe one more attempt to see if this one works.
I think she's calling in. I see her looking down.
Dialing, yeah. While we're doing that, board staff, will you just refresh us? I forget what the document is that says when BACB put in the supervision requirement, what the dates of that were? On or around?
I believe that was January 1st of 2015.
Okay. Hello. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on with my computer. No. So you, both of those forms technically are correct. The fewer hours, the form with the fewer hours on it was completed earlier than obviously the one with the greater number of hours on it, because there was an earlier due date for my license in Pennsylvania, but I was still accumulating hours after that was due. So they both technically are correct. It's just that earlier form had a earlier due date, so to speak.
Gotcha. So, but they both have end dates of 5/20/16?
Yeah, because that was when I actually finished all of my supervision. That's why it was put like that.
And so the one with the 1,055.75 is the correct one?
Yes, that is the total hours, correct.
All right, thank you for that. And then just to orientate board staff, for this individual, the BACB confirmed that during the, this individual supervised during 9 of 2015 through 5 of 2016. And the BACB confirmed through an email with board staff that, and I'm looking for the page number for you, sorry. Page number for that is, where art thou? If anybody beats me there, feel free to chime in. Where's that email? I have it tagged. Mm-hmm. My scrolling today is off. So the correspondence is actually on page 25 or 23 of the PDF packet. BACB confirms that Thomas Kitchum had completed his 8 hours of supervision training on December 20th, 2014. That letter also shows that Christine Cohen completed her 8 hour supervision on September 16th of 2016. So going back into the verification form signed by, let's see, we've got Tara Quaid's, and Tara Quaid is exciting supervisors.
Tara Quaid. Yes, Christina Colon, who was my direct supervisor, who I actually got my direct hours from, she's no longer with the agency that I was working with at the time, and neither myself nor them have had any success in contacting her. Tara McQuaid, though, was and it still is the department head. That's why I asked her to submit those forms.
Very good. And so that's kind of led to the question that was next, is that obviously her supervision training was not in that place. And so she's actually signing off as someone who's familiar with the training you received in this case, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Not as your special supervisor. Board right. staff, do we need to that's do anything? Right. Yeah. Thank you. And that's acceptable. Board staff, do we need to, is that noted in the file somewhere? Are we good with this information? This is really in a test.
Mr. Chair, Zakiya, would you prefer that this be summarized by the applicant in the email as a reply to the email that you sent to her previously?
Yeah, she can send just clarification on that. Yes.
Okay. And you sent the email when? It's in the last few days.
It was sometime in January.
Okay.
It was January the 7th.
Okay. So it may
I'm sorry, I missed. What piece are you looking for or need clarification on?
So I think the pieces that you, I don't want to speak for you. Zakira, I'll let you tell her what you'd like. You've outlined it already on page 8.
And maybe we just send a new email rather than look for the previous one. It may not be comprehensive enough and asking the questions broadly enough, but we'll follow up with an email right after this meeting and get the clarification we need.
So I'll just say this for that. If she can provide us the explanation, board staff, on a statement that Christina Cohen is no longer with the agency, that they've tried to reach out to her. She's not available for signature, so that their director at Achievement Center, who is familiar with Ms. Crowett's supervision experience, is attesting to that. That would be a great little paragraph to put there. And then I think also,
I believe I did share that. Sorry to interrupt. I believe I did share that. I can re-forward it if that would be beneficial.
And then a statement with regard to those two experience forms, just explaining that one had to be turned in prior and that the larger one is the correct one that you would like considered for this application. Okay. And then if those two answers are sufficient, Ms. Packenham, then I would say that we could move this forward and not delay it and get it on the docket for next week. So Ms. Krawitz, if you could, in a timely fashion, get that information or respond to our email, however board staff wants to do it, you'll stand a better chance of this going forward next week.
Dr. Davey?
Okay.
Sorry. Yes, that's enough.
Look at page 9 on the PDF. I think that takes care of the discussion on why Tara McQuaid, let me try to think. Why Tara McQuaid signed at least that part of it, but the other still needs to be addressed, I believe.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I stopped after I read about Mr. Kitchen. Christine Call is no longer into my cell for folks who've been successful in content editors such my phones. Oh, yes, so sorry that I missed that, Ms. Krawitz. I think I stopped as I thought.
That's okay.
I thought that that was just
no, that's okay.
The Mr. Kitchen part. And after reading that, I think I just took a break. That does answer that question that was sent. So that was sent on Sunday, the 26th, board staff number, page 9 of the PDF. So it's really just clearing up the two forms and which one.
The two forms.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. I will actually do that right after our conversation here.
Thank you. Any other questions from my fellow committee members on this one?
No, thank you guys. I appreciate the information.
Thank you.
And the time.
All right.
Committee members, did you have any other comments? Thank you, Board.
Thank you, Dr. Davey.
Yeah, well, thank you, board staff, also for outlining this before it even got to us. That was extremely helpful. Yeah. Thank you for working with the applicant to get the information. You all are wonderful. Thank you, Sakura. Okay.
Thanks for attending, Ms. Krawitz. That was helpful. Yeah. For the information too. So appreciate you taking
it. Sure. Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Let's see. Next application is Kaylee Jo King. Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. King passed her exam on October 13th of 2021 after receiving a Master's of Education in Special Education. She graduated, I left that off of my review form, but I will get it right now. She graduated in, December of 2020 with that degree from Arizona State University. She received her supervision from June of 2019 to June of 2021. She received supervision both in the state of Florida and Arizona. For those hours in Florida, they do not require licensure at this point. So with that, those hours were clear. The hours that were completed in Arizona did occur under a licensed behavior analyst for a total of 1,596 hours of experience. The question that I had on here pertained to where some of the clients were, specifically some of the employment that occurred for the fit learning that she was practicing here with a remote supervision. The applicant on the line.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So the area came from, I'm reviewing my notes just to make sure. She noted here on page 9 of the PDF that the hours that she completed while in the state of Arizona were still with Fit Learning, and that none of her clients were in the state of Arizona. I just wasn't sure, with that being said, since they were conducted remotely, if this letter that was in here directed to the board, written by Ms. King, was sufficient to show that none of her clients were in the state of Arizona. I think I misspoke saying that anyone was licensed in Arizona. Let me double check and make sure. Yes. So she did not have a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona while she lived here, but she reports that none of her clients whom she oversaw through Fit Learning resided in the state of Arizona. So perhaps, Ms. Galvin, that question is directed towards you. Is that letter sufficient enough to show that there were no clients in the state of Arizona?
That would be up to the committee whether they would want to accept that, but it appears to be an accurate representation from her. Or sufficient representation.
Okay. So I would open it up to committee members if there are any concerns.
Yeah, I mean, she's put it in writing to us, and I mean, there's not much more we're going to do other than that speaks to her character, that would be accurate.
Thanks. Given no concerns by the committee, I would move this forward to the full board.
Thank you, Ms. Benton. The next application is Nicole Taylor. Dr. Raitz, your lead on that.
Sure. Nicole received her BCBA certification in February of 2019. She also indicated that she is licensed in the state of Utah, both as a behavior analyst as well as a professional educator. She received her MS in special education from Utah State in 2018. And her supervision occurred at a school district in Utah between August of 2015 and November of 2016 under two supervisors. Both were licensed in the state at the time of the supervision, and the hours of supervision came to a total of 1,532. In reviewing the application, I didn't note any major issues. There does seem to be one clerical issue on page 8, I'm assuming. It indicates that the supervision occurred at a school district in partnership with Utah State, but then where it shows state, she has Arizona listed. And so I think that just needs to be a quick edit. And if we can have that addressed, then this would be fine to move forward.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Raitz. Next application is Carla Matel Sosa, and I'm the lead on that. Ms. Matel Sosa was certified as a BCBA in June of 2021. She graduated in August of 2013 from Cal State University Northridge with an MA in psychology. She received 1,710 hours of supervision under a BCBA in California, which does not require licensure. I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend it before the board for approval. And to just check and see if any committee members have any further concerns. Okay. All right, next application is Jennifer Koger. Dr. Dave, you're the lead on that?
Yes. And thank you to board staff to assign me one that did not have a bunch of math involved. Yes, Ms. Koger comes forward seeking certification in the state of Arizona. She is a board certified behavior analyst. She completed her application listing National University, where she received her training, Masters of Science, and major subject area of applied behavior analysis. She has indicated that she had a supervised experience towards certification and licensure in Tustin, California, under a supervisor, presumably in California. California has no licensure at this time. The application is complete. The hours are sufficient in terms of the multiple supervisors of one organization form that was provided by the applicant, and I would move it forward.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Bibby. All right, next application is Lauren Lentz. Ms. Dent, you're the lead on that.
Thank you, Mr. Stern. Lentz passed her board exam in August of 2016 after graduating from FITC with a master's in professional behavior analysis in May of 2015. Her supervision dates were from May of 2014 to April of 2016, originally in the state of California. She then came back to complete additional hours to surpass that 1,500-hour mark from June of 2021 to December of 2021. All of her supervision occurred in the state of California, which does not require licensure, for a total of 1,565. Committee members will note there is an explanation from one of her supervisors who oversaw her that was an academic instructor who also provided supervision. This is from Dr. Tom Stavo, noting the differences between what the BACB expected at that time of the supervision related to who was signing off on those. He attested for the number of, Dr. Zabo attested for the number of hours that he provided with those hours. Are there any comments from committee members regarding this application?
No. Ms. Lentz is on the call, so Ms. Lentz, do you have any comments? Or?
No, I'm good, thank you.
All right, great. And thank you for attending as well. If questions did arise, it's always nice to have people here to answer questions, so thank you.
Yeah, of course, thank you.
Well, then I would move that this goes to the board.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Denton. Next application is Matalban Patel. Ms. Patel was certified as a BCBA in February of 2021. She graduated in April of 2020 from Pepperdine University with an MS in behavioral psychology. She received 2,000 plus hours of supervision under BCBAs in California and Florida, neither which requires licensure. I did not know any concerns with this application and recommended it move forward to the board for approval. And then Ms. Patel is on the call.
Ms. Patel is on the call. Ms. Patel, do you have any comments to make or?
No, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to help.
Yeah, and thank you for attending. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. Okay, next application is Donna Salazar. Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that one too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel very popular this morning. Ms. Salazar passed her exam in December of 2021. She received a graduate certificate from Arizona State University to complete her coursework to become a board certified behavior analyst. She also is a licensed addiction counselor in Arizona and holds the appropriate licensure for this certificate or this license. She received her supervision towards her BCBA license from October of 2018 to December of 2020. She also received some additional supervision from another supervisor that went all the way until June of 2021. So the correct range is October of 2018 to June of 2021. She had a total surpassing the 1,500 hours by licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona, including some of the committee members who are absent today. So with this, there I don't note any concerns regarding the experience towards the BCBA. Certificate or licensure, and I would move that this goes towards the board.
All right, thank you, Ms. Denton. Okay, last application is Georgianne Casper. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Thank you. So Georgianne comes to us for a Kids Love application. She received her BCBA in April of 2021. She has a master's degree of social work from the University of Pittsburgh. She also completed a graduate certificate in positive behavior sports in 2015 at NAU, and then completed a master's of education at NAU in 2020. All supervision occurred under Lindsay Abbott between February of 2016 to December of 2018, and this occurred at Child and Family Support Services for a total of 1,539 hours and change. In looking at the supervisor, they met all of the qualifications, and I didn't note any issues with this application.
All right. Okay, great. Thanks, Dr. Rates. Let's see. Then I wanted to step back. Ms. Salazar is on the call. I didn't know if you wanted to make any comments. Sorry, I missed your name on there, but. Ms. Salazar, do you have any comments to make or?
Hello, I would just like to thank you for reviewing my application. And I do want to give a shout out to Ms. Malice, who was so patient with me answering my questions and very, very responsive. I just really appreciate this process.
Okay. Well, thank you for being there. And thanks for the shout out to Ms. Malice too. I'm sure she appreciates it. So, all right. Let's see here. Okay. So, do I have a motion to move the applications forward to the board, those noted with the notes that the board staff made?
Wow.
That's a pretty terrible motion request, isn't it? So, but anyway.
Someone do what we asked them to do.
Can you all do that? Yeah. So,
thanks.
I'm not refused from anyone. So I will say, so moved.
Okay. And then just as a note, that, let's see. Well, I guess nobody was, well, for Gwen Mitchie, both Dr. Rates and I were recused from that application. So should we vote on the non-recusals? Yeah.
No, we had already decided just to move that forward to the board and without a motion.
Okay. Okay.
So anyone can second.
Okay. All right. We had a motion, correct? Okay. All right. Do we have a second? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. So any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right. Let's see. Next agenda item is the discussion regarding telehealth. Dr. Davey, that's yours.
Well, I do have a little update this time. So we're in the throes of meetings right now. Yes, we just had one, I believe, yesterday or earlier this week. In terms of we divided at first into both behavioral health and physical health to get a little bit of work done in some organization, but we have made the concerted effort that we're going to bring those groups back together since Arizona is an integrated care system, and that we're going to be bringing forward the telehealth best practices documents and recommendations that we have gathered. The list for the behavioral health side in particular, really the Arizona Telehealth Association has provided just a ton of information and documentation for everything from teledermatology to teleburn to provider-patient interactions and just basic telehealth guidelines. We're really lucky and to have such a resource in the state of Arizona, not only for the information they're providing, but also their leadership. Directly related to us as licensed behavior analysts, I put forward the practice parameters for telehealth implementation of applied behavior analysis, the second edition, to be the guidelines that would be adopted by the state with regard to our practice. I don't suspect there's going to be any real pushback on that, as anybody who is either on the physical health side or behavioral health side that has practice parameters for their field is just essentially submitting those. We will be doing a review of those based on a matrix that will be helped developed by the Arizona Telehealth Association's executive director, and we'll be going through those to make sure that they hit certain criteria so that they can move forward as Arizona's baseline with regard to telehealth implementation. And that's where we are today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Davey. Let's see. Next item is consideration regarding the recent updates from the BACB. Ms. Pakanon, you're the lead on that.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Last month, I had reported that the BACB was hosting a meet and greet for regulators, and they actually had more structure to that event than I had understood to be the case. But that was nice because we have a really good presentation or a summary of the presentation in their PowerPoint slides. So I wanted you to see the content that they covered. I think all of us are pretty familiar with that information, but there were a couple of pieces of information that were new to me, and it was just ideal to be, even in a virtual sense, together with other regulators, particularly some from new jurisdictions where regulation of behavior analysis is something novel to them. And then the other material that I supplied is at the end of every calendar year, the BACB provides a compilation of all of the conversations that have been held on the regulator listserv. So I thought that might be of interest to the committee members as well. If you have any questions, I'm happy to address them.
Thank you, Ms. Packenham. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to agenda item number 9. Ms. Packenham, you're up again.
Oh, so many questions.
So, yes, what I've done is brought to you the edits that the our contract rule writer has prepared. So you have seen this material on several occasions to this point. So this represents what we would actually submit in terms of a notice of rulemaking. There are a couple of pieces of information in that preamble section, if you will, that we'll need to fill in. But for purposes of the actual revisions to the rules, I don't think you need me to go through those again. They should be, again, quite familiar to you, having been discussed on multiple occasions. What I wanted was for you to review this to ensure that there isn't anything that is incorrect or that we overlooked in the revision drafting process. I didn't find anything, but of course, it's important that the CBA checks my work too. One clarification I think that's important too. When we had discussed a reciprocity rule, I had conceived it in such a way that it would be a new rule. But what our rule writer, the way she addressed this, which I thought was very astute, she incorporated that application pathway into the existing rule in order so we wouldn't have to, we wouldn't be forced to justify when submitting this for approval to the governor's office. We wouldn't need to explain why we were creating a new rule, a new regulation. There is a requirement that for every new rule that is proposed, an agency needs to identify three rules to delete. So by simply assimilating the reciprocity piece into our 426-403 existing rule, then we get around that that requirement.
So this is D, is that correct?
It begins in section D, yes, subsection D.
Dr. Stanoff, one thing I had noted in there that was one of my questions was the language under three. So official transcripts, yada, 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 requirements specified by the BACB time, by the time they were initially certified. And then the accredited institution or education of higher education or a BACB approved program. Is that still the language, BACB approved program?
Dr. Davey, yes. I'm not certain.
Yeah, yes and no. So your VCS, you have a VCS, which you fall under the BACB, but that VCS responsibility verified course sequence by the university is now under the responsibility of ABAI, Association for Behavior Analysis International. So,
but it still is like a hierarchy, right? I mean, still BACB sits above ABAI in this process.
But the oversight and the documentation that we submit goes to ABAI. So like our renewal, so I had to submit documentation, I don't know, it was a few months ago. I don't know exactly when, But so was sent to ABAI.
But you send VCS information to ABAI, essentially BACB. So Heidi, the reason I tagged it was maybe we could talk to Misty about Misty Bloom, who you seem to be on you guys are very cordial in terms of email. Maybe we could ask her about that language so that we don't run afoul of the intent. In particular, like the way I see it is what Dr. Stenhoff stated, but I also see this language as appropriate because at the end of the day, the BACB has empowered ABAI to be the VCS, to be essentially the core sequence person. Mm-hmm. That could change. ABAI could become something else, and could become who knows what. So I was just if we could just talk to Misty and maybe ask her that question, Heidi.
Mr. Chair, yes, I think so, Dr. Davey. That may necessitate another edit, a simple one, inserting ABAI into the definition section of the rule. I don't see it there.
Misty may say that because ABAI is essentially down the ranks, that the BACB, it may be some different, it may be higher education or a BACB, VCS, I could just see it being some sort of weird language to be there. But
yeah, it is the term verified core sequence generic enough that, or approved core sequence, where we can keep it generic and not indicate the exact agency, but an approved core sequence by a certifying or regulatory agency like ABAI. Would that be generic enough that if, to Dr. Davies' point of, let's say, ABAI no longer oversees it, the BACB, from my understanding, does not want this. It's unusual for the certifying body to oversee also the core sequences. That's why they adjusted it, from my understanding, to ABAI. But if ABAI drops off and APBA, for example, another agency decides to take over the core sequence, regulation, could that be generic enough to call it a verified core sequence or an approved core sequence? And would that be adequate? And maybe that discussion doesn't need to be had at all right now. And maybe Misty would have a better idea too, but I don't know.
Because when I read the language, and I'll send you the link, Heidi, the verified core sequence, it just says now that the VCS system is now managed by ABAI.
Yeah.
So it could be language like the VCS system, by whom the BACB has chose to manage, and then we don't have to put in a new group. It could essentially just say if they choose ABAI, if they choose APBA, if they choose CASP, whoever they may choose to kind of monitor this based on their, their scope of knowledge, that would be acceptable to us. And I'll send you that link so you have it.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Yes. If we need to define verified course sequence, we can do that too. I don't think that there's a whole lot of danger in expanding our list of definitions. We want clarity. So I'll reach out to Misty Bloom this afternoon and see how quickly we can turn around, get a response from her and a suggestion from her. What my hope is that both sets of proposed rule packages come before the board on your February 11th agenda. So I think we can get some direction and clarification on this fairly quickly.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Packman. Mm-hmm. All right. Next agenda item, number 10. Was there any further discussion on that item? Okay.
Or any other comments to the edits at all?
No, I think everything else looks really good.
Great.
Okay. So agenda item number 10, discussion, consideration regarding this list of legislation. Ms. Packanon,
we just ask questions about ones that we think are important.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, yes. So I didn't. This is as comprehensive of a list as I could possibly make it. It isn't intended to challenge you. It's just, there's so much to watch. So my intention was, Dr. Davey, to sort of ask if you had any questions. There's only one that I want to highlight. And where did it go? Forgive me. There's one bill, only one bill at this time.
The good moral character clause?
The good moral character.
So what does psychology have as a clause? Because I went back through psychology statutes and it has the same, it references that same 32.2091.02 qualifications of an applicant, I think.
So curiously, when I saw the bill and it, you know, I was looking for a pattern in terms of which professions does this bill strike that language from their statutes. And I noticed right away it omitted psychology. Psychology does not have this exact same language that behavior analysts do with respect to good moral character as a requirement. They're similar language. The language in the psychology statute states that a requirement for licensure is that you have not committed any of the acts that constitute unprofessional conduct, which is found in the definitions, but it specifically does not include the specific words good moral character. So I found that to be really interesting. For what it is worth, this bill is assigned to the Commerce Committee, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I know the chair of the Commerce Committee, House Commerce Committee, and I think it's unlikely that this bill will get a hearing. That being said, it could certainly emerge, this language could emerge elsewhere on a striker bill. So it is one that, you know, we should pay attention to. I don't know that it necessarily has the traction to cross over the finish line, but yes, this is the only bill that makes changes to any of the language in the behavior analyst statutes.
Yeah, I just didn't quite understand where that's coming from. So, and I guess if it did gain any traction, I would request that that we have a meeting with this individual, this committee member, this representative. Is this a representative or a senator? I can't tell. And figure out what the issue is there.
Yes. So Representative Judy Burgess is the sponsor of this one. Sometimes this type of legislation emerges from a constituent who may have, you know, had an application issue or challenge with respect to meeting the good moral character requirement, I speculate. But sometimes that is the case. It's been my experience that kind of event can precipitate this kind of legislation.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we'll just watch that one. Can I ask a couple of questions, or did you want to go?
Just one more brief comment about that bill. So it hasn't even been assigned to a committee. And so there's still time for that to happen. But at this point in time, it starts to become a little bit more clear which bills are going to even see the light of day, meaning they get a hearing. So if this is assigned to a committee and the committee chair never assigns it, as I mentioned before, it's done unless it comes forward on a striker. But at this point, to not be assigned by a committee doesn't bode too well to its chances.
Or being assigned to all committees, as we saw the other day.
Indeed.
So with regard to, so the other ones I just want us to pay attention to are House Bill 2260, the medical marijuana medical condition one that's going to add autism and spectrum disorders to the list of treatable conditions by medical marijuana. I think we need to pay attention to that one to see if that has any legs. Obviously, you mentioned House Bill 2616 on the good moral character. The other one that popped to me was is SB 1476 towards the bottom, public meetings, in-person attendance issues. And so these seem to be, you know, whether or not these gain any traction, but that we cannot completely hold things online or remotely. So this would be, this type of a meeting would be an issue. So whether or not that gains traction or is just more of a political statement, I'm not sure. And then occupational licenses through apprenticeships, SB 1550, I believe that's the last one on there. Mm-hmm. Just because it does mention that it's granting licensure, it is through occupational licenses. And I just didn't be interested if that gains traction, what they would see as an apprenticeship in both psychology or as a behavior analyst, given that supervision really is in many ways similar to an apprenticeship. I just was interested to know if that one gains traction, what that may entail for licensing bodies or granting licenses.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Davey, I may have made a misstatement in the comments section. The comments are mine. I compose them, or sometimes this represents a collaboration with, I do monitor legislation with a couple of other executive directors of other agencies who we sort of divide and conquer on that task because it's pretty massive. I may have misspoke when I said a regulating entity shall establish criteria. Okay. I think that the language of the bill more accurately gives boards the latitude to where appropriate, establish apprenticeship. So I don't think it's a mandate, but let me look back at that. And if I need to correct it, the correction will appear on the version that you see next today, later.
That sounds good. Shall means must, and shall, yeah. That's, I think, the part that caught me. So, and then just following along Ms. Pakenon, and maybe, on the larger board committee, we used to have a legislative group that like Dr. Bohansky, myself, and several others from the board sat on and paid attention to some of these things. Just given that there, there's even one that specifically calls out behavior analysts that may be good for you and I to think about reconvening that committee, which I would be happy to chair. So we'll get that going again, maybe.
Mr. Chair, excellent, Dr. Davey, that would be great. I'm happy to take on, a lot of this responsibility. In my mind, it's inherent in everything that I, what I need to do to appropriately serve this committee and this board. But that being said, I'm not a subject matter expert on so many of these topics and issues that this legislation touches on. We're sort of, we don't have a very, we have the two vacancies on the board. And, of course, Dr. Bohansky left a big void because this was something that he was really passionate about. But I'm happy for you to take the reins and lead us as we reconvene this group and look for more volunteers.
And what this committee doesn't know is that there are other bills that impact psychology that are sitting out there. So there's one on the exemption for school psychologists. We also have one that, I don't know that I saw it on here, Ms. Pakenon, the one with regard to psychologists being able to take additional training and prescribe medication. Has that one not been assigned yet?
That bill will not be introduced in this session. So you'll get a better update on the 11th from the group.
So I just think it's important to know that there are things that impact us, particularly around public policy, and this is where they start. Much as there was the formation of this committee and the formation of licensure in the state of Arizona goes the same way. So yes, I'm happy to pick this up, and I think it's critical we pay attention. And yes, we are shorthanded and you do so much for us, so let us help. Okay. Thank you for all this, and thank you for the report.
My pleasure. I don't see this list growing very significantly at all. Monday is the last day for bills to be introduced in the House. So I'm watching through Monday. I will add anything that's new, and then my attention will start turning to strikers because that is the only other vehicle that legislation can be introduced through. So that's my report.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Pakenon. I know, were there any things noted during the meeting that we want to add to future agenda items? I know Dr. Davey had brought one up.
Yes, depending on how things shake out with one of our applicants. You know, I do think that we need to look at compelling, and give me one second here. I wrote some notes on what I wanted to say. When having 95 documents open is not the best policy. Remind me of the applicant's last name again.
That was Ms. Patterson.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I pulled it out. That's why I'm like, why is it not in the file? I put it on my desktop. Where are you? So yes, I think with regard to this, given the correspondences and then lack of action and request for information by a regulatory body seeking to be able to provide licensure to someone that Brooke Mannion supervised, presumably received some sort of payment for that supervision, either through a supervision contract, whether she was an employee for that time, serving her clients in an agency that she owned, that I believe that we should look towards providing a subpoena to her to compel her to either one, show, or two, provide the documentation of which this board has requested, and show, at a minimum, provide the documentation that's been requested, and to pay deference to the regulatory body that's seeking this, to be able to provide licensure to someone that she supervised and has an obligation to as well. I would also say that failure to do to comply with our requests, either on her own after maybe hearing this or hearing about this or via that subpoena, that if that failure does occur and she does not come forward to speak to us, that we would move forward with filing a complaint to the BACB with regard to several violations of the BACB code. At this time, I think the ones I would list would be 1.15, responding to requests, where she fails to comply with our request that we are called out as an entity such as a licensing board directly by the BACB, that she will respond to us and provide information. The other area is maintaining professional supervision documentations 4.05, which has the fact that they retain their supervision documentations for at least 7 years and or otherwise required by law. If there's any sort of pushback that perhaps that 7 years is new and that the previous version did not have that in terms of our ethics, that is not accurate. The previous version of ethics under 2.1.1 records and data also compels BCBAs to retain records and data for at least 7 years as well. And so with that information, and I believe if I really wanted to get into the ethical practice and compliance code for behavior analysts with regard to supervision, that there are several other violations here as well.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. And just to, just for the benefit of the committee, a subpoena could include both elements, both the requirement to produce the documents as well as the requirement to appear. So if you'd like the subpoena to reflect that, that's how I will prepare it.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other additions?
Mr. Chair, I do have one. I know that this committee was hoping to see the new online behavior analyst application. It has been scoped out and developed, and unfortunately, the timing is such that board staff has really only seen a portion of it. We had hoped to accomplish the testing this week. We ran out of time and opportunity, so unfortunately we didn't have it on this agenda, but I don't see a reason why we can't show it to you at your next meeting in March.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Any others? All right. Thanks.
And we'll just continue to have legislative updates, telehealth updates. Those things will stay on there, correct?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, last item, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
We all want to stay here. So moved.
Okay. I'll second. I'm allowed. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.